Revelation chapter 7. In our Calvary Chapel, we go through the Word of God systematically, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book. We are in chapter 7 of the book of Revelation. The chart you receive is a chronological order, because one of the reasons why the people have a problem with the book of Revelation is because it's not in chronological order. So I put this thing together for you. And for those who don't have a Bible, would you raise your hand, please? If you don't have a Bible, keep your hands up. And here, we need one more here. All right, let's get ready and put the chart away until we need it. Otherwise, if that's all you're going to read, and you are not going to listen to me. Meanwhile, you're going to miss a lot of things. A good movie director does not put together a movie with a scene after scene of the intense scene. He always put the break in between the high intense scene. Of course, being a good storyteller, being a good writer, God himself does not allow us to have an intense scene that after one after another that we saw in chapter 6 of the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, chapter 6, we find the six seals broken, and there's a ramification happening on the earth. Things are happening, and the people are dying. By the time the fourth seal is broken, and there are 1.6 billion people died. That's a guesstimated number. And the six seals broken, there's a cosmic disturbance, and the people on earth will be affected by it, and I'm sure there will be more people will die because earthquake and disaster and hurricane. Hurricane Ivan and Kristen will be look like nothing, because can you imagine media falling from the earth left and right, and of course that wave of the water will affect all around the ocean side, around the world. To catch our breath, God is giving us a heavenly interlude, and he's allowing us to see the glimpse of heaven as well as a glimpse of earth, where is a peace and quiet for a short time. Book of Revelation chapter 7 can be divided into two sections. And that can, verse 1 through 8, can you put up the chart? There we go. No, not that one, one before chart, the chart. No? Okay. Just jot it down. Chapter 7, verse 1 through 8 is about the Jews with 144,000 and sealed on the earth. The other one who is sealed on earth. And verse 9 through 17, we are finding the multitude of people, Gentiles from all nations, and cannot be numbered, and they are standing in heaven. That means they are dead. These people are dead. Let's have a word of prayer before we go any further. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that we are about to take. We are asking you to open our hearts to give us the wisdom to understand your word. Let us not have a fear of this book of Revelation, because it is an open book. Let us understand what you want us to know. And let us not go into the side track that you don't want us to know. And it is our desire to know you intimately. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 7. After these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth. Underline four corners of the earth. Some of you may say, well, see, Bible is unscientific. Because there's no four corners of the earth. Bible thinks that the earth is flat. As a matter of fact, the Bible is the first one mentioned in the book of Job, which is the oldest book, said it's hanging like a ball in the air. So it acknowledges the earth is round first. Four corner means, this is why my interpretation, four points of the earth. That means north, south, east, and west. Everybody agrees with that. So You can interpret it in a different way but as a flat, but this is my interpretation is north, south, east, and west. So let's go on. Holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow to on the earth, on the sea, and or on any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. Underline the seal of the living God, please. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, and saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till we have sealed the servant of our God on their forehead. And I heard that the number of those who are sealed, 144,000, underline 144,000, of all the, underline all the way, all the tribes of children of what? Which tribe? Okay. Underline, triple underline, circle, highlight, I don't care what you do with it. Mark it, Israel, please. Was sealed. After all that disaster, all of a sudden there is eerie silence. This is nothing more than calm before the storm. God controlled the natures. Can Satan use nature to hurt people? Yes, he can, by the allowance from God. During the day of his wrath, God will use the force of nature and bring his judgment on the people on the earth. Listen carefully, please. These people are left behind people. These people are the ones who do not trust God as their Lord and Savior. Nobody made them to do it. They made a choice, as we talked about last week. And we're going to talk more about it in this study. They made a choice. Keep that in mind, please. Bible typology says the wind is in a way the saying the judgment of God. How do I know? Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 49, please. Jeremiah is in the Old Testament, right after Isaiah. Jeremiah 49, verse 36. He says, against Elam, I will bring the four winds from the four quarters of the heaven, scatter them toward all those winds. And there shall be no notion where the cast of Elam will not go. This is his part. This is his way of judging the people, wind. And it's a typology that God used. Let's go to verse 5 of chapter 7 in Revelation. Now we find what kinds of people that he's composing to make 144,000. Of the tribe of Judah, 12,000 was sealed, and tribe of the Reuben, 12,000 was sealed. Tribe of Gad, 12,000 was sealed. Tribe of Asher, 12,000 was sealed. And tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 was sealed. Tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 was sealed. Tribe of Simeon, 12,000 was sealed. And tribe of Levi, 12,000 was sealed. Tribe of Issachar, 12,000 was sealed. Tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 was sealed. And tribe of Joseph, 12,000 was sealed. And Benjamin, 12,000 was sealed. The seal indicates the ownership and the authority and the protection. God's protection toward these people. That's his promise, that he's guaranteeing their safety and their salvation, and he will deliver them through the tribulation. Let me put it this way. These people, 144,000 people, received the seal. What kind of seal would that be? It is the name of the Father on their forehead. We have a couple of guys who works for the FedEx company here. Let's say I called out the FedEx company because I need to send the overnight letter. And they come to me, and they give me this label I have to fill out, and I fill out and give it to them, and they put it in this envelope. Overnight envelope. That label has a FedEx logo. And that means when I said overnight letter delivered before 10 o'clock, that means they're entire company is standing behind their promise because their company logo is in their label and they guarantee that it will be delivered. They guarantee so much that they even had, once they had an advertisement, absolutely positively delivered overnight. And some of the Air Force unit has that thing, F-117, stealth bomber, stealth fighter. They delivered the bombs to the Iraq overnight, absolutely positively. These people standing behind, that is the seal by the FedEx. Jesus Christ gave us the Holy Spirit when we come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He became a guarantee in our heart to deliver us to heaven, guaranteeing our safety, guaranteeing our salvation, and deliverance to heaven. Same thing for these people, 144,000 Israeli people will be delivered through the tribulation. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. Now he who established us with you in Christ has anointed us in God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our heart as a guarantee. Underline as a guarantee. Holy Spirit become the deposit for us. He is the guarantee for us, telling us that he is the guarantee from God himself. Many groups claim to be 144,000. Jehovah's Witness claim that they are the 144,000. When their membership exceeds 144,000, they decided, it's a different story. Now that it changed to there is a special group who will make it to the 144,000. They're going to go into the heaven, and the rest of the people is going to live on earth. Historical Mormonism also claimed to be 144,000. Ted Armstrong, Worldwide Church of God, also claimed to be 144,000. And Seventh-day Adventist once claimed that they are 144,000. What's the reason for this cult and the people claim that they are the 144,000? I see two reasons. Number one, it eliminated conveniently right off to Israel from the eschatological equation. Second thing, it makes them feel like they are the special chosen people by God. They are not. They may say this is allegorical Israel. It's not real church, a real Israeli people. Throughout the history, many misinformed Christians as well as cult members try to tell this Israeli people are not the promise of God for the Israeli peoples are not real. They are nothing more than allegorical things. That is not true. Old Testament is filled with the promise by God to the Israeli people. AD 312, Emperor Constantine became a Christian. He said that he claimed to be a Christian. And that he made the entire Roman nation to be received Christianity as an official religion. When he did that, a guy named Origen, he became the Bible scholar, and he said all the promise to Israel by God in the Old Testament is allegorical fact and nothing more than illustrations. He's not the only one who had that kind of concept. Followed by the Augustine, who is a proponent of the man. He's the guy who would make just about any Old Testament situation in an allegorical way. What does it mean in allegorical? Making it as a story, making it as a word picture for the promise of the Israel is nothing more than promise to the church. What by doing so, they're writing off, as I said, they're writing off Israel. Are you with me so far? Yes? Okay. He's not the only two, they are not the only two people who said that kind of thing. Guess who followed the Origen? He is followed by the Martin Luther, great reformer Martin Luther. Even though he's a great man of faith, there's one thing he was not good at. He didn't like Jewish people. As a matter of fact, he hated Jewish people. The reason why these people said that is because they said Jews killed Jesus. One thing they forget is Jesus himself was a Jew. Ladies and gentlemen, Old Testament is not allegoric things. It's a very much promise from God to the Israeli people. If you write off the Israel, you have to delete the entire Old Testament and you have to delete the Revelation too. It's best you take the Word of God as pretty much literally. When there's an allegorical way, it will be known to us. The best way to interpret the Bible is through the Bible, cross-reference. Some of you guys know the back of your Bible, there's a concordance. There's another book that you need to have in your library if you do want to do the in-depth Bible study, Treasury of the Scripture Knowledge. That is a very important book for you to have in your library because it gives you the cross-reference, very exhaustive cross-reference. If you use that, you will get to know that this is not allegorical things. This is very much literal interpretation. That's the reason why some of the pastors during the World War II were for Hitler because of his anti-Semitic movement and Holocaust. You may say that Israel failed. So did I. And you may say Israel people are fickle. So are you. And you may say Israeli people falters. All of us did. And all of us will. It's not just Israeli people. Let me put it this way. If we were 12 disciples, if we can get into the sandals of these disciples, do you think we would stick around with Jesus when they arrest him in the Garden of Gethsemane? No, we would run. If we were in their shoes, do you think we will be going outside and talking about, proclaiming the salvation of Jesus Christ during the time after he was crucified? No, we would be hiding in the upper room just like the disciples. What if we were the normal Israeli people who claimed, Hosanna, son of David, save us now, when Jesus Christ entered into the Jerusalem? A week later, those same people cry out to the Pilate that he should be crucified. We would have been doing the same thing. Israeli people are no different than us. We are no different than them. Remember this, please. The promise of God to Israel, you find it in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. You don't have to turn. I'm sure you mark it down and you can take a look at it later. Genesis 12, 3 says, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. God is speaking to Israeli people, to Abraham. And in you, all the family of the earth shall be blessed. Some people might say there is no one in Israel know their genealogy. Exactly. That is absolutely true. During the time of invasion by the King Nebuchadnezzar and the Romans around AD 60, all the records of genealogy of the Israel male has been destroyed. And 10 tribes of the Israeli people will end up in the Assyrian nation. And they don't have a genealogy. And no one knows. I mean, no one knows what their genealogy is. Do you think that lost genealogy is a problem to God? Absolutely not. If he can create the universe with his word, he knows exactly who they are and where they are. And he will call out those 144,000 people, male, virgin. And he will call out those people and use them to spread the good news of Jesus Christ throughout the tribulation time. I named those 12 tribes. If you compare those names of the 12 tribes with the names of tribes in those who crossed the Jordan River, you will find that they're different. And also you will find that the tribes who enter into the promised land and survive through, there are no less than 20 different ways of the God recorded in the Old Testament for the 12 tribes of Israel. Why 20 different ways? Each one has a purpose, each one has served a purpose, and there is a reason for a legitimate way. There's two tribes' names are missed here. What are they? Tribe of Dan and tribe of Ephraim. Why tribe of Dan and tribe of Ephraim are not there? If you find in Hosea 4:17, you'll find that the tribe of Ephraim got involved with the idolatry, and they got eliminated. And tribe Dan is interesting. Can you post? No, okay, the other one, please. Tribe Dan, some Bible commentators believe that out of tribe Dan, Antichrist will come out. You will find it from the Daniel chapter 11, verse 37. Jot it down and take a look at it, please. Jeremiah 8:16. When you look at Jeremiah 8:16, some of you guys will notice that if you have a New King James Version, it says his with a capital H. Let's go there. Jeremiah 8:16, please. When you read this in context, the way the New King James did is wrong. It's noting of it, capital H, his horse was heard from the Dan. The whole land trembled, and the sound of the neighboring of his strong one, in the capital H, should be corrected to small h. Both occasions, please. For they have come and devoured the land and all that is in it, and the city and those who dwell in it. As if it's capital H, it means it's God's horse. It's not God's horse. It's the king's, just normal king's horse. Actually, when you look at the New American Standard Version and New International Version, it's translated as enemy's horse. And that is the correct translation. Because of the, based on the Daniel 11:37 and Jeremiah 8:16, some commentators think that Antichrist will come out from the tribe of Dan. Not only that, you will find in Genesis chapter 49:17, Jacob, his own father, said, "You are like a serpent." And Judges 18:30, and you will find the tribe Dan is using carved image to do their idolatry things. So that's the reason why they were eliminated. However, God's grace is great. And when you find the tribe of Dan in Ezekiel's millennial roll call in chapter 48, you'll find that the tribe of Dan is the first one to be mentioned. God restored them during the time of millennium. Let's go to the verse 9 of chapter 7. After these things, I looked, and behold, in a great multitude, now we are changing the scene to the earth, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, and people, and the tongues, standing before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with the white robes, and with the palm branches, underline palm branches, please, in their hands. And put the number 1 on the verse 10, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Verse 11. All the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, and saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever." Great multitude and the angels, they're having heavenly hallelujah, toe-tapping, knee-slapping, hand-clapping, hold-down worship service. All right, continue to verse 13. Oh, by the way, don't you think it's a country style music? So if you don't like country style music, might as well get used to it. That's what we're going to do in heaven. Verse 7:13, and one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these arrayed in the white robe, and why did they come from? Where did they come from? And I said to him, sir, I know. So you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robe and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And therefore, number two, please. They are before the throne of God. Number three, serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger anymore, nor the thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to the living fountains of the water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. In chapter 4 and 5, John recognized the church. However, this time he does not recognize any of these people. Why? Because they are not part of the church. Are they saved? Yes. Are they going to be in heaven? Yes. As we see here. However, they are not part of the church. They are tribulation saints who are martyred. Who are this great multitude? As I said, they are the one, the tribulation saints, and if the rapture happened right now, if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you will be left behind. You will see a bunch of empty seats. I know there is a lot of empty seats here, but those who have been occupying, those born-again Christians will be taken, and you will be left behind. And then some of you might realize that you missed the boat. That's the case, you missed the rapture. Then you become devout Christian here and during the tribulation. You might get killed because you stand for the truth. And you're the one of those people who are wearing the white robe standing before God. Apostle John made a good description that I actually put the 3 points. Number one, verse 10, we find they are joyful. They are having a hold down worship service right in the middle of the heaven, because they were saved by the grace of God. Number two, they accepted and they stood before the God's throne and the Lamb. Even though they were rejected on earth because of the truth they were standing on, but they are accepted by the God himself. That's the things. And then they are rewarded. They get to serve God day and night in the temple. There's two group I mentioned. One is the church, which is the bride of Jesus Christ, and the great multitude, the comparison chart, as there is. Let's see. Not this one, the other one. Can you find me the other one? There it is. Great multitude, they're the tribulation saints who are martyred, They got killed during the tribulation time. Great multitude, they are standing before God in the throne in verse 9, and they served the Lord in verse 15. But the church of Jesus Christ, they were there way before the tribulation. They sit on the throne, and Jesus Christ himself will serve them. And you'll find in Luke chapter 12, verse 37. Okay, listen carefully, please. Same sun softened the wax will harden the clay. Same sun softened the wax will soften the clay, harden the clay. It is not sun's fault that clay get hard. It's clay's nature that get hard. What do I mean? The word of God goes out to the people. Some of your heart is melting with exceeding joy because to you the word of God is a living water. To you the word of God is a living bread. Bread to your soul. However, some of you, as the word of God goes out, right this moment, your hearts get hardened. You're rejecting Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. You're saying no to Him. It is not the Word God's fault that your heart get hardened. It is your heart. It's your nature that you're rejecting Him. It's your choice. However you decide, you have to live with the consequences. Some of you might say, well, if the rapture happens, I will start to believe. Ladies and gentlemen, if that's your mindset, hear me well, please. What makes you think that you're going to live throughout the tribulation as a tribulation saint? How do you know you may not even see the rapture? Why do you want to take a chance? Is there any guarantee that you will live another 30, 40 years? Young people, you think you're invincible. I've seen a lot of young people dying left and right. Who in the physical condition-wise, they are in a prime, pinnacle. Probably they can eat the horse one sitting, but yet they die. Why? Because nobody knows how long we're going to live. Am I trying to scare you? Yeah, I'm trying to scare the hell out of you, literally. If that's what it takes, I will do so. Don't take a chance. That's not the only thing. Some of you, when the Word of God comes to you, the command of how we should live, purified living, holy living, but yet you want to take a chance. You want to do however you want to do. The Word of God goes out to you, but your heart gets hardened instead of being softened. Why? It is not the Word of God's fault. It's your choice. When we find the seventh seal in chapter 8, that will introduce the seventh trumpet judgment. Intensity will go in the both ways, scope and the size. The things we will find in the book of Revelation chapter 8, it becomes beyond our comprehension. You don't want to be in there. Let's stand up and pray.